Good morning. Glad you've joined us again. For those of you who are here at the building this morning, we're glad that you're here worshiping with us. And if you're at home in your living room, or maybe you're still lounging in bed and you're watching this on your phone, wherever you're at, we're so glad that you're worshiping with us this morning. A man brought his son to a grocery store, but as soon as they walked in the store, the young child began to throw a temper tantrum. While they went down each aisle, the child would yell, throw items in and out of the cart, and over all just be a complete annoyance. Despite the scene his son was causing, the father was cool and he was collected, slowly and calmly saying, don't worry, Donald. It'll be all right, Donald. We're going to get home soon, Donald. A nearby mother was very impressed with the father's self-control and wanted to express her gratitude for such a calm parenting. Sir, I'm amazed that you're able to be so calm. It's not every day I see such patient and gracious parenting. Now, little guy, what seems to be the problem, Donald? Oh, no, ma'am, you're mistaken, the father interjected. This is my son, Henry, and I'm Donald. And parents can relate to that. Sometimes we get just a little bit stressed out. And with this whole quarantine thing, now the kids, we weren't expecting them to be home until now, and now they are home, and they've been home for months. Sometimes we just got to take that deep breath, try to relax with our kids. We love our kids. It can get stressful sometimes, though. Thinking back to when you were a kid, probably the number one thing a parent wants their child to say, if they are ever given something or someone does something for them, us parents, as we see this play out, we're thinking in the back of our minds, please say thank you, please say thank you. And if they don't, the blood pressure can rise, and you want to just crawl inside a shell because we want our kids to say thank you. When your parents raised you, I'm sure they raised you to be thankful, that when someone gave you something or did something for you, that you would tell them thank you, and that you would do the same thing as you become an adult, that wouldn't stop. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next couple of weeks, is being grateful and thankful. I don't know if you had siblings who were kind of lazy, didn't do their chores, and you oftentimes had to do them for them, and they were never thankful for the fact that you did their chores for them more times than they did their own chores. You might be thinking, well, I don't remember that happening. Well, you were probably that child that wasn't doing their chores. Maybe you had a roommate. I'm not talking about the person you're married to, but I'm talking maybe a college roommate who was sloppy and messy, and you were always picking up the dorm room, and they just never expressed their gratitude for the fact that you tidied things up and took care of the room. Now, I know most of you husbands probably never have this issue come up, but there's times when I come home, and as I walk in the door, I look around, and I'm thinking to myself, for some reason, I feel like I should be thankful for something right now. And you look around the room, and you look your wife up and down, and you just wonder, what is it? Ever have those moments? Yeah, I do too. But I think we can all agree on the fact that we want to be thankful people. We want to be grateful people. And being grateful, being thankful, there's actually benefits to this. To the person who says they're thankful or shows that they have gratitude for what others do for them. Studies show physically that it helps level blood pressure. It helps people to sleep better. You have fewer aches and pains. Mentally, it boosts your happiness, and it fosters physical and emotional health. Emotionally, it decreases depression and anxiety. And socially, it reduces social comparisons. I think that's what a lot of folks need these days. And it opens the door for much healthier relationships with other people. The bottom line is, gratitude and thankfulness can really change who we are. And something I've learned by looking through Scripture this week is that showing thankfulness and gratitude can really change us spiritually as well. In Psalm chapter 100, verse 5, David says this, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." What's David saying here? He's giving God praise, but also thanksgiving. He's being grateful for who God is. And that's good for the soul. Fast forward to the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, in the book that he wrote to the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, Paul says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. And, you know, we gather now through screens, and today we're together. We gather, we sing, but that's not just it. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I ponder the church right now, and Christians, I really have to wonder, how thankful are we being during this time? I have a fear that far too many Christians are showing way too much negativity, and we aren't showing much thankfulness of God through what's going on. And what we have to remember is the world is watching. The world is watching the church. The world is watching the followers of Christ and seeing how it is that we react to difficult situations. And to be honest, when I think about that first century church, they had no privileges. They had no position. They were just followers of Christ, loving people like Jesus loved people. And the odds were stacked against them. They had no one championing their cause. Yet they flourished. Why? I don't think it's because they complained about the circumstances. But I think it's because they took the words of Paul serious. We sing praises to God, but we give him thanks in all circumstances. So, how can you and I, as followers of Christ, be more thankful and show more gratitude in the face of difficult times? Well, here's one thing I know about us as human beings. We tend to be very thankful or grateful if. If my job is going how I want it to, I'm thankful. If my spouse is treating me how I want to be treated, I'll be grateful. If this and if that, and as long as things go according to plan, it's very easy to be thankful. It's very easy to have gratitude in your heart. But we have to change our thinking because not everything goes how we want it to go. And we've really learned that lesson over the last few months. And I think instead of us throwing up our arms in anger and frustration, that we take a deep breath and we ask this question. I want to be more thankful. And how? In the when. I want to be more thankful when life doesn't go according to plan. I want to be more thankful when I face pain and suffering. I want to be more thankful when I get the news that I didn't want to receive. It's in the when that we're challenged. It's in the winds of life that we are really challenged. And we're either going to get very frustrated and angered and saddened and depressed, or we can find through Scripture how it is that as a follower of Christ, we can still be thankful and we can be that person, that shining light that we're called to be. Because people are watching and they're wanting to see how we react. And we want to represent Christ well. Now we're going to go to a place in the Bible this morning where suffering teaches us a lesson on being thankful when life gets tough. The book of Lamentations, it's in the Old Testament. If you want to turn to the book of Lamentations, just go ahead and go to chapter 3. The book of Lamentations is right after the book of Jeremiah. It's a short book. But the book of Lamentations, it's a beautiful, poetical story about what happened to the people of Israel when they became unfaithful to God and destruction came upon them, the likes maybe the people of Israel had never seen before. In 586 BC, the Empire of Babylon sent its forces to the city of Jerusalem, and it encircled the city, and it laid siege to the city of Jerusalem for 18 months. When you look back at the history of what happened in 586 BC, it was gruesome. They cut off the food supply into the city. And basically, they waited for the people of Jerusalem to starve to death. There's records that parents were eating their children. And once the troops of Babylon realized that they were weakened to the point they weren't going to be able to defend themselves, the soldiers, they seized the city. They destroyed everything in sight. They stole everything that was of value. They destroyed the temple. They killed most men, and they took women and children back to Babylon as captives. It was an awful time for the people of God. We're not sure who wrote the book of Lamentations. Scholars think perhaps it was the prophet Jeremiah. But this book is made up of five laments. A lament is a genuine cry. And as the writer of Lamentations, it's a picture of him looking over the city of Jerusalem after all the destruction and death, suffering and pain. And we get a glimpse of what was in his mind. This book is a book about sin and suffering and tragedy, but in the end, thanksgiving. And there's two images that we get in the first three chapters of the book. In chapters 1 and 2, we're given this image of an abandoned woman. This abandoned woman, she's abandoned because she was unfaithful to her husband. And oh, how things would have been so much different if she would have just been faithful. But she wasn't, and she was left abandoned. And that's how the writer describes this city. It was abandoned, and it couldn't protect itself. And then in chapter 3, the writer puts you into the shoes of a man, an afflicted man, right there in the city streets of Jerusalem. And he gives you his perspective of what has happened. The man has lost everything, and in his mind, he thinks God must be against him, no longer for him, and he decides in his mind, it's impossible to be thankful. And here's a taste of what he was thinking. In Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 1, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out a cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks and stone. He has made my paths crooked. This man has a bleak picture. And in his mind, you can tell that he is blaming God. He is laying it bare. It's exactly what he thinks about what has happened, that God doesn't care anymore, and you could have done something and you didn't. And you skip down to verse 18. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped for from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I will remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. And maybe you've been there before. I don't know, maybe you're there today. That you've looked at the situation that you're in that's right in front of you, and you think to yourself, where is God? Why didn't he stop it? I'm done. I give up. There's no one there to help me. But in verse 21, the very next verse, the writer of the book of Lamentations changes gears. Verse 21, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. You see, the writer of Lamentations, he sees exactly what's before him. The death, the destruction, the sadness, the grief, everything that's wrong. And he says, but I have to call to mind. What he's doing, he's remembering. He's remembering what God has done in the past. That God is faithful and true, and that he has carried his people through. He has never failed them, even when life feels like it's failed. I call to mind something different. I remember who God is and what God has done. And then verse 22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So what about us? How does this affect you and I? In our lives today in 2020, we're facing some difficult times. Perhaps you've faced something a whole lot worse than what we've been going through the last few months. The next few months down the road, there might be something come into your life, a win. And how are you going to be thankful when that win comes into your life? What's the first thing that comes into your mind when you think of difficulty? Do you turn to anger or bitterness or worry or sadness or disappointment? Or can you call to mind that in spite of my circumstances, I'm thankful because of who my God is, that he has never failed me? That his compassions never fail. 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes in chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, when you read this, I think oftentimes Christians think, well, give thanks in all circumstances? Honestly, really? Come on, Paul. And so we think we have to lie to ourselves that, well, if I'm going to be a good Christian, then I can't think that things in my life are bad, so I have to lie to myself. No. Paul says in all circumstances, not all circumstances are good. Not all circumstances are pleasant. Some circumstances, they stink. They're not fair. Yet, in all circumstances, give thanks to God because he'll never fail. One thing that I've learned from reading Lamentations chapter 3, it's okay to lay it out there. The writer who says, I am the man who has seen affliction, and then he goes forth, and there are more verses than what I read of just how he felt. Lay it out there. God already knows what you're thinking. So go ahead and verbalize to God through prayer just what you're feeling. And then God can take that mess and make it into something beautiful. But until you release it, he can't redeem it. And so when you face a win in your life, let God know what's in your heart. Let him redeem what's going on inside of you, because he is more than capable of handling your mess. And so the people of Israel, they needed to look back. They needed to call to mind what it was that God had done for them in the past, because they didn't understand why the things that were happening and how long they were going to have to go through this. And so the best thing for them, the spiritual medicine that they needed, was to call to mind who God is and what God has done. They needed to call to mind that God is greater than any win that has ever happened. And it's the same truth for you and for me. That our God is greater than any win, any situation, any circumstance that comes our way. And when we face that win, we give thanks that we have the God that we have. When we are in our win, moments can be hard to think that God is there. It may just seem empty. It may just seem like he's not there. And that's why it's so important that we look back, that we call to mind who God is, and that he is his love, it will never fail us. The next thing that happens here in the book of Lamentations is that the writer describes a kind of worship. It's a tada. Not a tada, but a tada. Tada means the most serious of worship, where your hands are raised high and you abandon everything else in life and nothing else matters but God, and you give him that tada worship. When the Ark of the Covenant was brought into the city of David, you better believe that tada worship happened that day. When God's glory came upon Solomon's temple, tada worship, it happened. When the Israelites needed a wall to come down, and they called the marching band, you know those guys that wear the skinny jeans, up to the front of the line, and the soldier said, we'll hang back here, and you go ahead and you march and you play your music. And the day that those walls fell, you better believe that a tada worship happened. And in the New Testament, when prison doors needed opened, tada worship happened. And so when we face our winds, our circumstances, our situations, we need to have the posture of worship that always shows God that we're thankful for who he is. And when we do that, God is more than capable to carry us through. Lamentations 3 teaches that even when life doesn't go how we want it to, God, I'm thankful for who you are and what you've done. And I will continue to call to mind in the face of my win that my God is greater than any circumstance. And all too often, we make the bedrock of our life our circumstances, and that just doesn't work. We have to make the Lord Jesus Christ our bedrock, our foundation. And when we choose to do that, when our winds come our way, yeah, we're going to be shaken. There's things in life, they shake us. But when Jesus Christ is the bedrock, the foundation of our life, we'll be shaken, but we'll never fall. So even when, can we have that mindset? Not if life goes how I want it, but even when life happens, even when you're given a matter of months, maybe even days, you say, Jesus, I thank you that this countdown, it's not a countdown to the end, but it's a countdown to my home. When we face grief and heartache because of loss, you thank Jesus that because of how you go through your grief and loss, it's going to affect someone else in a positive way. Even when life, you've been wrecked by the sinful decisions that you've made, you thank Jesus that he does not treat you the way that your sins deserve. Even when the recklessness of others, their sins, impact your life and leave you abandoned and scared, you can thank Jesus for allowing himself to be abandoned by his Father so that you could become a child of God. And the scars on his hands and feet prove just how much he loves us. And even if tomorrow nothing changes, we get impatient. We want to make this promise to God even when, all right, tomorrow it should be different. And sometimes it doesn't happen that quickly. And so even if tomorrow nothing changes, that you can call to mind that Jesus is there each and every day, and nothing has or will happen in your life that he won't meet you in that moment. And that he is more than capable to carry you through. So make the Lord the bedrock of your life. And when you do that, and the winds of life come your way, you will always be able to say, thank you, God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that gives us such inspiration, that we face the winds, the situations, circumstances of this life, and if it was left up to ourselves to take care of these things, there's no way that we could. I thank you, Father, for the wisdom that your word gives us to seek after you as our God, our strength, our shelter, to seek after your son Jesus as the bedrock of our life, because Jesus told us in this life we will have troubles, and we needed a firm foundation to weather the storm. I pray, Father, as followers of Jesus, that we would take this seriously, that we wouldn't look at life selfishly, that I'll be thankful if things go how I want them to go. But, Father, in the face of when circumstances come my way that I don't like or I didn't expect or aren't fair, that we would be able to say, thank you, God. that we would call to mind who you are and just how much you love us. Father, I pray that you would be with all of those who have worshiped with us this morning, that you would guide and direct and bless them this week. And I pray once again that you would continue to keep those that are part of our church family safe and healthy through this time. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We are not worthy. And in light of that, I pray that we would be grateful. We'd be thankful for the grace that was given to us through Jesus shedding his life on the cross. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. Can't wait to see you again next Sunday. And if you want to join us in person, we will meet at 10 o'clock. You can see the guidelines for our reopening for the church on our Facebook page, also through email that we send out each week. If you're not a part of the email list, you can email paintachristian@consolidated.net to get yourself put on that email list. And also, those guidelines are on the homepage of our website. Have a great week.